Chapter 104. Drum Brake Diagnosis and Service. Drum Brake Diagnosis. Diagnostic Steps. Diagnosing brake concerns includes the following steps. Step 1. Verify the customer complaint, or concern. For example, common drum brake concerns include the following. Low brake pedal. Parking brake does not hold the vehicle on a hill, and noise while braking. Noise when the vehicle is moving, but the brakes are not applied. Step 2. Perform a visual inspection of the brakes and related parts, such as the wheels, tires, and suspension system. Step 3. Determine the root cause. For example, this could include determining that the parking brake is corroded, causing the brake shoes to wear. Replacing just the brake shoes will not correct the root cause. Step 4. Restore the brake system to like-new operation, which is the purpose of any repair. Step 5. Test drive the vehicle to verify that the service has corrected the customer's complaint. Drum brake service usually involves the following steps. Step 1. Remove the brake drums. Step 2. Inspect the brake drums for damage and measure the inside diameter and compare to specifications. Step 3. Inspect brake linings and hardware for wear or damage. Step 4. Inspect the wheel cylinder and brake lines for leakage. Step 5. Check the backing plate for excessive rust or wear. Brake drum removal. Mark drums. The drum has to be removed before inspection or repair of a drum brake can begin. There are two basic types of drums, and the removal procedure depends on which type is being serviced. With either type, it is usually recommended that the drums be marked with an L for left or an R for right so that they can be replaced in the same location. Figure 104-1. An aqueous-based, or water-based, brake washer can be used to wet down the outside of the brake assembly before removing the drum. After the drum is removed, wash down the shoes and other parts to capture the dust into the washer. Warning. Removal of the brake drum should occur inside a sealed vacuum enclosure equipped with a HEPA filter or washed with a brake washer. See Figure 104-1. Hub or fixed drums. A fixed or hub-mounted drum is often used on the rear of front-wheel drive vehicles. The drum has a hub for inner and outer bearings and is retained by a spindle nut. To remove the brake drum, remove the dust cap and cotter key that is used to retain the spindle nut. Remove the spindle nut and washer, and then the brake drum can be carefully pulled off the spindle. Refer to Figure 104-2. Tinnerman nuts are used at the assembly plant to prevent the brake drum from falling off until the wheels are installed. Refer to Figure 104-3. Turning the bolts that are threaded into the brake drum forces the drum off of the hub. Hubless or floating drums. Floating or hubless drums are usually used on the rear of a rear-wheel drive vehicle. The drums are secured to the axle flange by the wheel and lug nuts. New vehicles have Tinnerman nuts, clips, also called speed nuts, on the stud when the vehicle is being assembled. These thin sheet metal nuts keep the brake drum from falling off during shipping and handling prior to installation of the rear wheels. See Figure 104-2. The Tinnerman nuts can be discarded because they are not needed after the vehicle leaves the assembly plant. After removing the wheels, the drum should move freely on the hub and slip off over the brake shoes. Some drum brakes have two threaded holes in the drum that allow bolts to be installed. See Figure 104-3. By tightening the bolts, the drum is forced off of the hub. Two situations that can prevent the drum from being removed include the following. Number 1. The drum is rusted to the hub. The fit between the drum and the hub is very close because it is this center pilot hole in the drum that centers the drum on the axle. Rust and corrosion often cause the drum to seize to the hub. Striking the area inside the wheel studs will usually break the drum loose from the hub. Sometimes a torch has to be used to expand the pilot hole. Note: use of an air hammer with a flat-headed driver against the hub also works well to break the drum loose from the hub. Caution: overheating or not allowing the drum to cool slowly can cause the brake drum to distort. Using a puller can also damage a drum. Number 2. The brake shoes are worn into the drum. Even if the pilot hole is loose, many brake drums cannot be removed because the inner edge of the brake drum catches on the lining. Pulling outward on the drum often bends the backing plate or breaks some of the mounting hardware. To prevent damage, remove the adjuster plug from the backing plate or drum and back off the adjuster. See Figure 104-4. Note: be sure to reinstall the adjuster opening plugs. These plugs help keep water and debris out of the brakes. After removing the brake drums, they should be cleaned, inspected, measured, and possibly machined before being returned to service. Refer to Figure 104-4. If the brake shoes have worn into the drum, the adjuster can be backed in after removing the access plug. After removing the plug, use a wire or a screwdriver to move the adjusting lever away from the star wheel, then turn the star wheel with a brake adjusting tool, often called a brake spoon. Refer to Figure 104-5. Using side cut pliers to cut the heads off of the hold down pins, or nails, from the backing plate to release the drum from the shoes. Tech tip. Cutting the nails trick many times a brake drum cannot be removed because the linings have worn a groove into the drum. Attempting to adjust the brakes inward is often a frustrating and time-consuming operation. The easy solution is to use a pair of diagonal side cut pliers and cut the heads off the hold down pins, or nails, at the backing plate. This releases the brake shoes from the backing plate and allows enough movement of the shoes to permit removal of the brake drum without bending the backing plate. The hold down pins, or nails, must obviously be replaced, but they are included in most drum brake hardware kits. Since most brake experts recommend replacing all drum brake hardware anyway, this solution does not cost any more than normal, may save the backing plate from damage, and saves the service technician lots of time. See Figure 104-5. Drum brake disassembly. After removal of the brake drum, the brake shoes and other brake hardware should be wetted down with a solvent or enclosed in an approved evacuation system to prevent possible asbestos release into the air. Precautions should be taken to prevent any asbestos that may be present in the brake system from becoming airborne. Removal of the brake drum should occur inside a sealed vacuum enclosure equipped with a HEPA filter or washed with water or solvent. See Figure 104-6. Usually, the first step in the disassembly of a drum brake system is removal of the return, or retracting, springs. See Figure 104-7. After the return springs have been removed, the hold-down springs and other brake hardware can be removed. See Figure 104-8. Note, there are generally no exact disassembly or reassembly procedures specified by the manufacturer. The order in which the parts are disassembled or reinstalled is based on experience and the personal preference of the technician. Refer to Figure 104-6. A liquid soaking solvent, such as brake cleaner, should be used to wet the linings. The purpose of wetting the lining material while the drum is still on the vehicle is to prevent the possibility of asbestos from the lining becoming airborne. Asbestos is only hazardous when asbestos dust is airborne and is breathed in during brake system service. Refer to Figure 104-7. Using a brake spring tool to release a return, or retracting, spring from the anchor pin. Refer to Figure 104-8. A special thule, called a hold-down spring tool, being used to depress and rotate the retainer. Refer to Figure 104-9. A typical rusting backing plate shoe pad. This can cause the brakes to squeak when the shoes move outward during a brake application and again when the brake pedal is released. Inspecting the backing plate. The backing plate supports the parts of the drum brake and helps to keep water from getting onto the brake shoes. The backing plate bolts to the rear axle or spindle and is made from stamped steel. Backing plates are plated, usually with cadmium, or painted to prevent rusting. To inspect the backing plate, follow these steps. Step 1. When brakes are serviced, the six raised contact surfaces, called pads, ledges, or shoe contact areas, of the backing plate should be inspected because they rub against the sides of the shoes. If the pads are worn more than 1/16 of an inch, or 1.5 millimeters, the backing plate should be replaced. See Figure 104-9. Step 2. The backing plate must be inspected for looseness or bending. Step 3. Backing plates should also be inspected to ensure that they are parallel with the axle flange. Step 4. The raised pads should be cleaned and lubricated. Lithium high-temperature brake grease, synthetic brake grease, silicone grease, or anti-seize should be used to lubricate drum brake parts. See Figure 104-10. Refer to Figure 104-10. Applying lithium grease to the raised pads on the backing plate. Refer to Figure 104-11. A rule of thumb is that the lining should be at least the thickness of a nickel. Drum brake lining inspection. Both primary, front-facing, and secondary, rear-facing, lining material must be thicker than 0.060 of an inch, or 1.5 millimeters. To inspect the drum brake lining, follow these steps. Step 1. Some vehicles are equipped with holes in the backing plate that allow for a visual inspection of the thickness of the lining. Most vehicle and brake lining manufacturers recommend replacing worn brake lining when the thickness of the riveted lining reaches 0.060 of an inch or less. An American nickel is about 0.060 of an inch thick, so simply remember that you must always have at least a nickel's worth of lining. See figures 104-11 and 104-12. Step 2. Most experts agree that the best possible inspection involves removing the brake drum and making a thorough visual inspection of the entire brake instead of just looking at the thickness of the remaining lining. If a riveted brake lining is cracked between rivets, the lining should be replaced. The lining must be replaced if cracked, as shown in figure 104-13. Refer to figure 104-12. A tire tread depth gauge can be used to measure lining thickness. When measuring riveted linings, measure to the head of the rivets. Refer to figure 104-13. Cracked brake lining must be replaced. Brake spring inspection. Return springs. Each lining has a return spring, or retracting spring, that returns the brake shoes back from the drums whenever the brakes are released. The springs are called primary and secondary return springs. The primary return spring attaches to the primary brake shoe and the secondary return spring attaches to the secondary brake shoe. These springs should be tested prior to a brake overhaul, especially when uneven lining wear is discovered. Some drum brakes use a spring that connects the primary and secondary shoes and is commonly called a shoe-to-shoe spring. Return springs can get weak due to heat and time and can cause the linings to stay in contact with the drum when the brakes are released. Hold-down springs. Hold-down springs, one on each shoe, are springs used with a retainer and a hold-down spring pin, or nail, to keep the linings on the backing plate. Other types of hold-down springs include U-shape, flat spring steel type, and the combination return and hold spring. These springs still allow the freedom of movement necessary for proper braking operation. Refer to figure 104-14. The top spring is a good-looking spring because all coils of the spring are touching each other. The bottom spring is stretched and should be discarded. The arrow points to the back side of the spring, which goes into a hole in the brake shoe. The open loop of the spring is not strong enough to keep from straightening out during use. Using the back side of the hook provides a strong, long-lasting hold in the brake shoe. Tech tip. The drop test. Brake return, or retracting, springs can be tested by dropping them to the floor. A good spring should thud when the spring hits the ground. This noise indicates that the spring has not stretched and that all coils of the springs are touching each other. If the spring rings when dropped, the spring should be replaced because the coils are not touching each other. See figure 104-14. Although this drop test is often used, many experts recommend replacing all brake springs every time the brake linings are replaced. Heat generated by the brake system often weakens springs enough to affect their ability to retract brake shoes, especially when hot, yet not ring when dropped. Connecting spring, adjusting screw spring. The connecting spring attaches to the lower portion and connects the two shoes together. Check or replace at every brake lining change for best results. Wheel cylinder inspection. Drum brake wheel cylinders are cast iron with a bore, hole, drilled and finished to provide a smooth finish for the wheel cylinder seals and pistons. This special finish is called bearingized. The final step in manufacture of the wheel cylinder is to force a hardened steel ball through the bore to bend over the grain of the metal and to smooth the inner surface. This process provides a smooth porous-free surface for the sealing caps to travel over. It is this bearingized surface finish on the inside of the wheel cylinder that is often destroyed when a wheel cylinder is honed. Caution: it is because of this bearingized surface finish that most vehicle manufacturers do not recommend that wheel cylinders be honed. Be sure to follow the vehicle manufacturer's recommended procedures. Some manufacturers state that the wheel cylinders can be overhauled using new, replacement, sealing cups and dust shields after cleaning the cylinder bore only. Outside each wheel cylinder piston are dust boots installed to keep dirt out of the cylinder bore. Between both piston seals, there is a spring with piston seal expanders to keep the seals from collapsing toward each other and to keep pressure exerted on the lips of both seals to ensure proper sealing. See figure 104-15. On the back of each wheel cylinder there is a threaded hole for the brake line and a bleeder valve that can be loosened to remove, bleed, air from the hydraulic system. The wheel cylinder is bolted or clipped to the backing plate. See figures 104-16 and 104-17. Refer to figure 104-15 exploded view of a typical wheel cylinder. Note how the flat part of the cups touches the flat part of the piston. The cup expander and spring go between the cups. Refer to Figure 104-16. Many wheel cylinders are bolted to the support plate, or backing plate. The O-ring seal helps keep water and dirt out of the drum brake. Overhaul of the wheel cylinders. If defective or leaking, wheel cylinders can be overhauled if recommended by the vehicle manufacturer. The following steps and procedures should be followed. Step 1. Loosen the bleeder valve. If unable to loosen the bleeder valve without having it break off, a new replacement wheel cylinder is required. To help prevent broken bleeder valves, attempt to tighten the bleeder valve while tapping on the valve to loosen the rust before loosening the valve. Step 2. To remove the wheel cylinder, the brake line must first be removed from the wheel cylinder. Unbolt or remove the wheel cylinder retainer clip. Be careful not to twist the brake line when removing the line from the wheel cylinder, or the brake line will also require replacement. Step 3. If the bleeder valve can be removed, remove all internal parts of the wheel cylinder. Note: with some vehicles, the wheel cylinder must be unbolted from the backing plate to enable removal of the seals and piston. Step 4. Clean and/or hone a wheel cylinder as specified by the manufacturer to remove any rust and corrosion. See Figure 104-18. Step 5. Install the pistons, usually not included in a wheel cylinder overhaul kit, seals, spring, and dust boots. Install on the vehicle and bleed the system. Note: even though the wheel cylinder is not leaking, some brake experts recommend replacing or rebuilding the wheel cylinder every time new replacement linings are installed. Any sludge buildup in the wheel cylinder can cause the wheel cylinder to start to leak shortly after a brake job. When the new, thicker replacement linings are installed, the wheel cylinder piston may be pushed inward enough to cause the cup seals to ride on a pitted or corroded section of the wheel cylinder. As the cup seal moves over this rough area, the seal can lose its ability to maintain brake fluid pressure and an external brake fluid leak can occur. See Figure 104-19. Refer to Figure 104-17. This special tool makes it a lot easier to remove the wheel cylinder clip. A socket can be used to push the clip back onto the wheel cylinder. Refer to Figure 104-18. The rust inside this wheel cylinder will not affect the operation as it is located inside the working area of the sealing cups. Refer to Figure 104-19. When new, thicker brake linings are installed, the pistons and cups are forced back into the wheel cylinder and pushed through the sludge that is present in every cylinder. Drum brake hardware kit. If any spring is found to be defective, it is possible to purchase most parts individually or in pairs. However, for best results, many brake suppliers sell drum brake hardware kits. These kits usually include the items listed below for two drum brakes, or axle set. Number 1. Primary and secondary return springs. Number 2. Connecting spring. Number 3. Hold down springs. Number 4. Hold down spring retainers. And Number 5. Hold down spring pins, or nails. Self-adjuster kits are available in left and right-handed threads for the left and right side of the vehicle. Other brake parts such as adjusters are available separately or as part of a self-adjuster kit. See Figure 104-20. Tech tip. Time, not mileage, is important. Many brake experts recommend rebuilding or replacing wheel cylinders at every other brake job. Some experts recommend that the wheel cylinders be overhauled or replaced every time the brake linings are replaced. If the wheel cylinders are found to be leaking, they must be replaced or overhauled. The most important factor is time, not mileage, when determining when to repair or replace hydraulic components. The longer the time, the more moisture is absorbed by the brake fluid. The greater the amount of moisture absorbed by the brake fluid, the greater the corrosion to metal hydraulic components. For example, the brakes will probably wear out much sooner on a vehicle that is used all day every day than on a vehicle driven only a short distance every week. In this example, the high-mileage vehicle may need replacement brake linings every year, whereas the short-distance vehicle will require several years before replacement brakes are needed. The service technician should try to determine the amount of time the brake fluid has been in the vehicle. The longer the brake fluid has been in the system, the greater the chances that the wheel cylinders need to be replaced or overhauled. Refer to Figure 104-20. This star wheel adjuster is damaged and must be replaced. A lack of proper lubrication can cause the star wheel to become frozen in one place and not adjust properly. Inspecting the drum brake shoes. Carefully inspect the replacement brake shoes. Check all of the following. Number 1. Check that the replacements are exactly the same size, width and diameter, as the original. Hold the replacement shoes up against the old shoes to make the comparison. and. Number 2. Check for sound rivets, if rivet type. The friction material should also be snug against the metal brake shoe backing. After checking that the replacement brake lining is okay, place the old shoes into the new linings box. This helps ensure proper credit for the old shoes, called the core, as well as protection against asbestos contamination exposure. Brake parts cleaning. Whenever cleaning brake parts or components, always use the following guidelines. Denatured alcohol or brake clean should only be used to clean brake parts that are disassembled. When individual parts are cleaned, they should be allowed to dry before being assembled. Never clean or flush assembled brake components with denatured alcohol or brake clean. Often, the alcohol cannot evaporate entirely from an assembled component. The trapped alcohol will evaporate inside the brake system, causing contamination. The trapped alcohol vapors also act like trapped air in the braking system and can cause a spongy brake pedal. Always clean assembled brake components with brake fluid. Refer to Figure 104-21. Pre-assembly of the star wheel adjuster with its connecting spring often helps when reassembling a drum brake. Check to make sure that the star wheel adjuster is on the correct side of the vehicle because they use different threads, left hand and right hand. Lubrication checklist. For proper operation, the following points should be lubricated with approved brake lubricant. Number 1. The star wheel adjuster threads and under end caps. Number 2. The backing plate contact areas, pads or ledges. Number 3. Anchor pins. Caution, do not use wheel bearing or chassis grease on a braking system. Use only approved brake lubricants such as molybdenum disulfide, moly, grease, synthetic grease, lithium-based brake grease, or anti-seize compound. Also, be sure to check and lubricate the parking brake cable. If necessary. Reassembling the drum brake. Reassembling the drum brake includes the following steps. Step 1. Carefully clean the backing plate. Step 2. Check the anchor pin for looseness. Step 3. Lubricate the shoe contact surfaces, shoe pads, with anti-seize, brake grease, or synthetic grease. Step 4. Reassemble the primary and secondary shoes and brake strut, along with all springs. Step 5. Finish assembling the drum brake, being careful to note the correct location of all springs and parts. Note, many technicians pre-assemble the primary and secondary shoes with the connecting, or, lower retracting, spring as a unit before installing them onto the backing plate. See Figures 104-21 and 104-22. Most self-adjusters operate off the rear, or, secondary, shoe and should therefore be assembled toward the rear of the vehicle. Be sure that the star wheel adjuster is used on the correct side of the vehicle as the threads are different. See Figure 104-23. Refer to Figure 104-22. Sometimes it is necessary to cross the shoes when pre-assembling the star wheel adjuster and connecting spring. Refer to Figure 104-23. Brake spring pliers being used to install the connecting spring. Adjusting drum brakes. Most drum brakes are adjusted by rotating a star wheel or rotary adjuster. As the adjuster is moved, the brake shoes move toward the drum. If the brakes have been assembled correctly and with the parking brake fully released, both brake shoes should make contact with the anchor pin at the top. See Figure 104-24 for an example where one shoe does not make contact with the anchor pin. If the clearance between the brake shoes and the brake drum is excessive, a low brake pedal results. The wheel cylinder travel may not be adequate to cause the lining to contact the drums. Often, the driver has to pump the brakes to force enough brake fluid into the wheel cylinder to move it enough for braking action to occur. Many technicians use a brake shoe clearance gauge to adjust the brake shoes before installing the drum. See Figures 104-25 and 11-26. Refer to Figure 104-24. Notice that the brake shoe is not contacting the anchor pin. This often occurs when the parking brake cable is stuck or not adjusted properly. Refer to Figure 104-25. The first step in using a brake shoe clearance gauge is to adjust it to the drum inside diameter and tighten the lock screw. Refer to Figure 104-26. Place the gauge over the shoes and adjust the brakes until they contact the inside of the gauge. Refer to Figure 104-27. To prevent getting grease on the lining, the wise service technician covers the friction material with masking tape. The tape is removed after the brake shoes have been installed. Caution, before installing the brake drum, be sure to clean any grease off the brake lining. Some experts warn not to use sandpaper on the lining to remove grease. The sandpaper may release asbestos fiber into the air. Grease on the linings can cause the brakes to grab. Tech tip: the masking tape trick. Some technicians cover the friction material with masking tape to prevent contaminating the linings with dirt or grease during installation. After everything has been installed and double-checked, the masking tape is removed and the brake drums are installed. See Figure 104-27. Drum brake fault symptom guide. Low pedal or the pedal goes to the floor. Possible causes for low pedal include the following. Number 1. Excessive clearance between the linings and drum. Number 2. Automatic adjusters not working. Number 3. Leaking wheel cylinder. And number 4. Air in the system. Springy, spongy pedal. Possible causes for springy, spongy pedal include the following. Number 1. Drums worn below specifications. And number 2. Air in the system. Excessive pedal pressure required to stop the vehicle. Possible causes for excessive pedal pressure include the following. Number 1. Grease or fluid soaked linings. Number 2. Frozen wheel cylinder pistons. And number 3. Linings installed on wrong shoes. Light pedal pressure, brakes too sensitive. Possible causes for light pedal pressure include the following. Number 1. Brake adjustment not correct. Number 2. Loose backing plate. Number 3. Lining loose on the shoe. Number 4. Excessive dust and dirt in the drums. Number 5. Scored, bell-mouthed, or barrel-shaped drum. And number 6. Improper lining contact pattern. Brake pedal travel decreasing. Possible causes for brake pedal travel decreasing include the following. 1. Weak shoe retracting springs. And 2. Wheel cylinder piston sticking. Pulsating brake pedal, parking brake apply pulsates also. Possible cause for pulsating brake pedal includes the following. Number 1. Drums out of round. Brakes fade, temporary loss of brake effectiveness when hot. Possible causes for brake fade include the following. Number 1. Poor lining contact. Number 2. Drums worn below the discard dimension. And number 3. Charred or glazed linings. Shoe click noise. Possible causes for shoe click noise include the following. Number 1. Shoes lift off the backing plate and snap back. Number 2. Hold down springs weak. Number 3. Shoe bent. And number 4. Grooves in the backing plate pads. Snapping noise in the front end. Possible causes for snapping noise in the front end include the following. Number 1. Grooved backing plate pads. And number 2. Loose backing plates. Thumping noise when brakes are applied. Possible causes for thumping noise include the following. Number 1. Cracked drum, hard spots in the drum. And number 2. Retractor springs unequal, weak. Grinding noise. Possible causes for a grinding noise include the following. Number 1. Shoe hits the drum. Number 2. Bent shoe web. And number 3. Brake improperly assembled. One wheel drags. Possible causes for one wheel dragging include the following. Number 1. Weak or broken shoe retracting springs. Number 2. Brake shoe to drum clearance too tight, brake shoes not adjusted properly. Number 3. Brake assembled improperly. Number 4. Wheel cylinder piston cup swollen and distorted. Number 5. Piston sticking in the wheel cylinder. Number 6. Drum out of round. Number 7. Loose anchor pin plate. Number 8. Parking brake cable not free. And number 9. Parking brake not adjusted properly. Vehicle pulls to one side. Possible causes for vehicle pulling to one side include the following. Number 1. Brake adjustment not correct. Number 2. Loose backing plate. Number 3. Linings not of specified kind, primary and secondary shoes reversed or not replaced in pairs. Number 4. Water, mud, or other material in brakes. Number 5. Wheel cylinder sticking. Number 6. Weak or broken shoe retracting springs. Number 7. Drums out of round. Number 8. Wheel cylinder size different on opposite sides. And number 9. Score drum. Wet weather, brakes grab or will not hold. Possible causes for brakes grabbing or not holding include the following. Number 1. Bent backing plate flange. And number 2. Incorrect or abused shoe and linings. Brakes squeak. Possible causes for brakes squeaking include the following. Number 1. Backing plate is bent or shoes twisted. Number 2. Shoes scraping on backing plate pads. Number 3. Weak or broken hold down springs. Number 4. Loose backing plate, anchor, or wheel cylinder. Number 5. Glazed linings. And number 6. Dry shoe pads and hold down pin surfaces. Brakes chatter. Possible causes for brake chattering include the following. Number 1. Incorrect lining to drum clearance. Number 2. Loose backing plate. Number 3. Weak or broken retractor spring. Number 4. Drums out of round. Number 5. Tapered or barrel-shaped drums. And number 6. Improper lining contact pattern. Drum brake service. Step by step. Step 1. Tools needed to service a drum brake assembly include brake tools, silicone grease, wheel lug nut sockets, and torque limiting adapters or a torque wrench. Step 2. After safely hoisting the vehicle to chest height, remove the brake drum. Step 3. Remove the primary, forward-facing, shoe return spring, using a brake tool. Then, remove the secondary return spring. Step 4. Remove the parking brake strut along with the anti-rattle spring. Step 5. Use a brake tool to depress the hold-down spring, and then rotate it until the slot in the retainer lines up with the flattened part of the hold-down pin. Step 6. Removing the primary brake shoe plus the star wheel adjuster and connecting spring. Step 7. When the secondary lining hold-down spring is removed, the adjusting lever and pull return spring can be removed. Step 8. The parking brake lever can now be disconnected from the secondary brake shoe. Step 9. Check the wheel cylinder for leakage. This wheel cylinder is relatively new and not leaking. Step 10. Clean all 6 brake shoe ledges. Lubricate the ledges with silicone brake grease. Step 11. Many technicians prefer to assemble the connecting spring and star wheel adjuster to both shoes to help in the reinstallation. Step 12. Attaching the parking brake lines to the secondary shoe. The assembled parts at the bottom help keep everything together. Step 13. Installing the secondary shoe hold down spring. Step 14. Installing the secondary shoe return spring. Note that the primary return spring has already been installed. Step 15. After installing the brake shoes and springs, use a drum shoe clearance gauge and set it to the inside diameter of the drum. Step 16. Adjust the star wheel adjuster until the linings contact the drum brake shoe clearance gauge. Step 17. After installing the drum, it may be necessary to make the final adjustment using a brake adjusting tool, or spoon. Step 18. After completing the brake service, be sure to cover the brake adjustment opening to prevent water from getting into the brake. Review questions. Question 1. Explain how to remove a brake drum. Question 2. List all items that should be lubricated on a drum brake. Question 3. List the steps necessary to follow when replacing drum brake linings. Question 4. Explain why many vehicle manufacturers do not recommend the wheel cylinder be honed. Question 5. What is the purpose of Tinnerman nuts? Chapter quiz. Question 1. Technician says that the Tinnerman nuts are used to hold the brake drum on and should be reinstalled when the drum is replaced. Technician B says that a drum should be removed inside a sealed vacuum enclosure or washed with water or solvent to prevent possible asbestos dust from being released into the air. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 2. The backing plate should be replaced if the shoe contact areas, pads or ledges, are worn more than a half of an inch, or 13 millimeters. B. 1/4 of an inch, or 7 millimeters. Circa 1/8 of an inch, or 4 millimeters. D. 1/16 of an inch, or 1.5 millimeters. Question 3. Technician A says that silicone brake grease can be used to lubricate the shoe contact ledges. Technician B says that synthetic brake grease, lithium brake grease, or anti-seize compound can be used as a brake lubricant. Which technician is correct?
A.
Technician only.
B. Technician B only.
C. Both technicians A and B.
D.
Neither a technician A nor B. Question 4. Most brake experts and vehicle manufacturers recommend replacing brake lining when the lining thickness is
A.
0.030 of an inch, or 0.8 millimeters.
B.
0.040 of an inch, or 1.0 millimeters. C. 0.050 of an inch, or 1.3 millimeters.
D.
0.060 of an inch, or 1.5 millimeters. Question 5. Technician says that many vehicle manufacturers recommend that wheel cylinders not be honed because of the special surface finish inside the bore. Technician B says that some experts recommend that the wheel cylinders be replaced every time the brake linings are replaced. Which technician is correct?
A.
Technician A only.
B. Technician B only.
C. Both technicians A and B.
D.
Neither a technician A nor B. Question 6. Most manufacturers recommend that brake parts should be cleaned with
A.
clean water only.
B.
Denatured alcohol. C. Stoddard solvent.
D.
Detergent and water. Question 7. After assembling a drum brake, it is discovered that the brake drum will not fit over the new brake shoes. Technician says that the parking brake cable may not have been fully released. Technician B says to check to see if both shoes are contacting the anchor pin. Which technician is correct?
A.
Technician A only.
B.
Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B.
D.
Neither a technician A nor B. Question 8. Technician A says to use masking tape temporarily over the lining material to help prevent getting grease on the lining. Technician B says that grease on the brake lining can cause the brakes to grab. Which technician is correct?
A.
Technician A only.
B.
Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B.
D.
Neither a technician A nor B. Question 9. Technician A says that star wheel adjusters use different threads, left and right-handed, for the left and right sides of the vehicle. Technician B says that the threads and end caps of the adjusters should be lubricated with brake grease before being installed. Which technician is correct?
A.
Technician A only.
B.
Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B.
D.
Neither a technician A nor B. Question 10. The drum brake on one side of a vehicle is dragging. Which of the following could not be the cause?
A.
Sticking wheel cylinder piston.
B.
Improper shoe adjustment. C. Broken retracting springs.
D.
Error in the system. End of chapter 104.